absolute power corrupts absolutely.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't...
Hello, hello. And I know you listening like, what the heck is going on here and it's beating this show? Well, you know what time it is, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is The Master Plan. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. Okay, we have a chat room open. You can put your questions, comment, or statement in there. And if it's worth it, we'll respond to it. Or if you just want to express yourself, that's fine too. Now, like I said, and like you heard, you're like, what the heck is that? First, you had played absolute power. You're absolutely right. Corrupts absolutely. And then you hear Herm Edwards, you played to win the game. Now, you should put two and two together when I also played part of a song that says it's time to go. Well, it relates to my former team, and I'm not just picking on my former team because it is my former team. It's because this is one of the reasons why it's my former team. Because they're so dysfunctional. Things are so screwed up there, it's ridiculous. It's so crazy. And it's, I think, in my opinion, it's time for Mr. Rex Ryan to go. This is probably the dumbest thing that could ever, one of the dumbest things he could have ever done. Let me set this up for you. Everybody knows it's in fantasy football, or just watching football, that the preseason games are going on, okay? Jets and Giants are playing at MetLife Field. They do it for the last few years. They've been doing it every year, okay? Now, I wouldn't say it's an I would say it's a rivalry because they share the same stadium. They're in two different conferences. Quite naturally, Giants are in the NFC, Jets are in the AFC. And they have a rivalry, okay, for the bragging rights in New York, so to speak. Okay, fine, no problem. You get in the game, and Geno Smith is a starting quarterback for this game. And it's basically, if he plays well in this game, it's his job to win or to lose, depending on how he plays. So he gets in the game. He starts off okay. All right, no problem. He does throw a touchdown pass in the game, but he throws three interceptions in the first half. And two of them were really bad. I mean, really bad decisions and poorly placed. Typical rookie mistakes. Okay. So he plays the first half. He comes back in the third quarter. He plays that. And then they're back up to the goal line. And he goes back to pass, and the pass rush is so intense that he, in an attempt to get rid of the ball, he steps out of the end zone, which is another bonehead rookie mistake. Okay, now that's a safety. Okay, all right. Now we're into the fourth quarter. Okay. And who's going to be the starting quarterback? And now you would think it would be the quarterback behind Geno Smith. I mean, just to mop up, it's a fourth quarter. The ones are out for most part. The number one players are out on both sides. Now you got guys in there that are trying to win spots or make themselves look good or whatever. Because besides this game, next game is the last game before the cuts have to come down to a regular 53-man roster. Okay. Well, who trots out there in the fourth quarter? Mark Sanchez. Now, you already saw what your rookie quarterback has done over the first three quarters. And all of it, not all of it, some of it was good, a lot of it was bad. All right? Had three turnovers. Running out of the end zone is for a safety and throwing three interceptions. Two of them were horrible, horrible decisions. Okay? You bring in your third-string quarterback. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, this is the explanation. I'm going to play you the press conference after the game with Rex Ryan's explanation, and then we'll come back and I'll talk about that.
Completely defrosted. And so let's see the head coach of the New York Jets, Rex Ryan.
Well, again, that's an assumption on your part. It's, I can understand, that's your assumption, but, this team will make the call on the starting quarterback when we think it's appropriate. We said that from day one. So, to me, obviously we talked about the competition, and that was something that I thought was important. If it wasn't important, then I wouldn't have put him in there. I would not have put Mark in if it wasn't important.
Do you still have a chance to
be with him? Hey, again, we're going to compete all the way through. Hey, I'll make that call. I don't have to answer a question. I answer it the way I said. And from day one, I said, we will make the announcement of a starting quarterback when we think it's the appropriate time. Not when you, not when this person or this person or this person. Now, maybe that person, but that's about it.
You can't even say that he had a chance.
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country. I can answer it 100 times. Here, I'll stand backwards and answer the question. I'm going sideways. At the appropriate time, we'll make that the announcement when I think it's the appropriate time.
Right.
Yes, Brian.
I understand why. Did you have any reservations with Mark? Obviously, he's still competing for the starting quarterback job. You're 2 weeks away. Do you have any reservations putting him out there behind the second team line, which is a mix of rookies,
well, after the injury, you always have reservations about, but we're competing. To sit up here and say, and I tell our players, we're trying to compete to win this game, period. And that was it. And, Mark Mark was throwing the ball well, and that's it. But, you know, if a guy gets injured, you can say the same thing. I wish Crow wasn't out there. You know, he bothered his hip. But, you know, we'll see, like I say, and hopefully that the severity of the injuries, aren't too serious.
Now, do you believe that? Okay. Now, he sent him out there. And as soon as he sent him out there, I'm telling you, people, he was taking shots left and right. The shot, first down, second down, he took some shots. Second shot, he took a real nice shot. And the last down, that before he actually got hurt, he took a hell of a whop delivering a pass. And he left the game with a shoulder injury. Couldn't lift his shoulder up, had ice on it immediately. And why, Rex? Why? That's why I played the song, "It's Time to Go." Why even prolong it? Why even go into the season with more dumb decisions? How stupid can you possibly be putting your would-be first-string quarterback, starting quarterback, in 2 weeks into the game in the fourth quarter when you don't have your ones in there for the most part, and it's twos and threes or whatever else on the other side trying to make a name for themselves, trying to impress the coaches. And you put in jeopardy your number one quarterback that's your boy? Your boy! The one you drafted, the one you were so raving about since he's been there, you put your boy out there in the fourth quarter when it didn't mean, supposedly, it's preseason game and you say you wanted to win the game. It was that important that you had to put him out there. That important. Well, guess what, Rex? I'm saying it's time for you to go. I'm saying it's time for you to go. I know it's not going to happen. I know it's going to, the inevitability of it is of the situation is going to play itself out at the end of the season. But to prolong the agony of what is inevitable at the end of the season, the GM, after seeing that bonehead play, the owner, after seeing that bonehead decision, say, you know what? I understand it's the beginning. Not even the first game hasn't been played. I understand that. But we can't have decisions like that. If it's have a decision like that in preseason, and you're a fifth-year coach, a four-year coach, or whatever it is that you've been there, and you're still making stupid decisions like this, putting your, which is, everyone would probably know that he would be the starting quarterback come week one of the NFL season, of the Jets starting of the season. And you put him out there in the fourth quarter in harm's way. And quite naturally, as ironic as it is, he gets hurt. And you're left with not one, not two, but a whole dozen of eggs on your face because of the bonehead move, and it was your decision. But that's what you said. It was your call. And so it's your call. It should be Isaac, who's the GM, or Woody Johnson, who's the owner, to say, you know, Rex, I don't think we can do this. I really don't. I may say because on emotional thing. No, it's not. It's not. I'm watching this game. Just like I was watching other preseason games, and I'm looking at it, and I had to do a double take when I see Mark Sanchez running in the fourth quarter. I said, "What the heck's going on here? Why are you doing that?" And as it may be, as soon as he got in there, the Giants defensive players started taking real good shots at him. I mean, real good shots at him. If you happen to ever see the game, you'll know what I'm talking about. Rex Ryan, in my opinion, before the season starts, get somebody else in there, Marty Morningway, whoever, to take it over and say, Rex, you got to go. Because That was one of the worst decisions. Excuse me, one of the worst decisions I have ever seen. What other head coach? What other head coach would put their soon-to-be starting quarterback, who hasn't played the whole game, who has not played the whole game, in harm's way to lose, to get hurt like that? I got a call from the 202. We'll bring him in now. Caller from the 202, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and tell me what you got to say.
This is Black the Bookie, and today's date is August 25th. So I said, let me call the Master Plan to get some last-second game planning in for this draft that I have today at 1 o'clock.
Okay, okay. Well, I have to have two of them today, so it's going to be a very intense day. And I'm going to be walking down some 10 to 12 position rankings that I have here. But anyway, I don't know if you I was talking about before I got into that. I was talking about what the Jets did yesterday. Did you happen to see that? Did you happen to hear about
it? I'm friends with Hussein Fatal of the legendary Outlaws rap group. They used to rap with Tupac. He's big Jets fan, but he's posting up that he can't take it anymore. So what took place last night?
Let me tell you something. This is what took place, Black. And I'm not hating on the Jets, but I was watching the game, and I couldn't believe how dumbass this head coach was. All right, Geno Smith started the game. He threw a touchdown pass, which is fine, but he also threw three interceptions, two of which were absolutely horrible, okay? But he didn't play. Besides the interceptions, he really didn't play that bad, okay? And the one thing, he played up three quarters. And in the third quarter, they were backed up at the goal line, meaning the Jets. He took the snap, dropped back, got a huge pass rush, trying to get rid of the ball. In the process of getting rid of the ball, he ran out of the back of the end zone. So besides throwing the three interceptions, now it's a safety, okay? Because he did a bonehead play running out of the back of the end zone. Okay? End of the third quarter. Here comes the fourth quarter. Now, Geno Smith's been playing the whole time up until the end of the third quarter. Fourth quarter comes. Who comes trotting on the field, number six? Mark Sanchez. I'm looking like, what? What the heck is he doing in the fourth quarter? Now, you know what's in the fourth quarter. A whole bunch of twos, threes, fours, or whatever on both sides of the ball. Am I right?
You are correct.
Yes. So what happens to Mark Sanchez? The first play, he gets a huge pass rush. He gets pounded. He gets hit. He doesn't get tackled, but he just gets hit hard at releasing the ball. Second one, if the first one wasn't hard enough, the second one was even harder. He gets up slow. He's feeling his chest. You can see him wincing in his face. I'm saying, uh-oh. You know what's coming next. What happens next? He throws the ball. Two linemen hit him, one from the back, one from the front, and the one from the front really gave him a shot. He lands on the ground, grimacing in pain, holding his right shoulder.
Uh-oh.
Holding his right shoulder. They immediately run out there. He gets up. He walks out, and he immediately put ice on him. He's done for the night. Now, and he may not even play come the first week of the season, because right now it's inevitable that he would be the starting quarterback for the Jets. But because he got hurt, because the dumbass coach did a dumb bonehead play, move, and put him in the fourth quarter with a whole bunch of scrubs around him, I mean, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, you know what? This just justifies why I made the decision I made. And I also am calling for him to go. He has to go. How stupid. Why prolong the inevitable? That's my theme right now. Why prolong the inevitable? If you're going to make bonehead moves and you've been like this, you've been the head coach 4 or 5 years, and you're still doing stupid-ass stuff, and in his press conference – and I'm sorry to rant, but in his press conference, He said we were trying to win the game. We were trying to compete. You got a third-string quarterback. Put that knucklehead in there. Don't put the quarterback that maybe you're starting quarterback for the season. That's how stupid can you be? It's time for him to go. And I got another caller from 301 on here. Talk to me, my man. Oh, boy. Who do I have here? I'm trying to...
Oh, my God. Slim, you man, you had me cracking up laughing. You had me cracking up laughing. The Jets are ridiculous, Slim. They are a circus show.
Yep.
And your boy Geno Smith, he is a bum. I'm sorry. I watched him throws. He is hot. How you run out the back of the end zone, Slim?
Yep. Yep.
How you do that?
Yeah.
How you do that? And you know why? And you know why I'm gonna put this on blast? Cause he on Jay-Z's joint, and I don't like Jay-Z, so I'm going in on you, Geno. I'm going all the way in on you. You's a bum. You are not RG3. No, you're not him, Slim. You're not.
Yeah.
And you're not. Yeah. And you're not the next coming, Slim. You sorry. You suck. That's why ain't nobody pick you. Everybody knew. They all saw you, Slim. You terrible. And then Rex Ryan, oh, my God, he has got to be the biggest idiot coach on the planet. How you put Mark Sanchez in at that time of the game, man, in the preseason? Really?
Right.
Get out of here. Did he get hurt?
Yep.
Yeah, get that shit. I mean, it don't get no more entertaining than that stuff. I was thoroughly entertained because I was cracking up laughing because I was thinking of all the things that I could say on this show today.
Yeah, hey. Trust me, I have said them all and then some before Black on air, and I'm just reiterating it right now. Yeah, Black, that's what happened.
Black.
What's going on, man?
That is what happened. And I mean, that's got to be what head coach in his freaking right mind would do that to his starting quarterback who's going to start the season? What?
You know what? I'm gonna let you off the hook for your transgressions of last season.
Thank you.
I'm gonna let you off the hook. You're free to walk.
Thank you. See. I do have some foresight, my man. I see it. I saw it. It's time for him to go. I don't care how close it is to the beginning of the season. Why prolong the inevitable? You're making bonehead moves like this now, and you're that this far into your head coaching career, and you're still doing stupid garbage like this. Why prolong it? You're not going to be the coach at the end of the year. So get rid of him. Put somebody in there. The interim. Who the heck cares? Who cares?
Right.
Who cares? So it is what it is. But I mean, I was just too through when I saw that. Anyway, I appreciate you guys jumping on here. What I was going to be doing is I got four positions to run down. And most people have 12-team leagues, so I'm going to run down the top 12 as quick as I can, running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end. Unfortunately, last week, and as Mikhail knows, and I knew the time was short, he knew it was short, and he reminded me, I got cut off just as I was about to give the last two, but it was inevitable. People knew what the last two were anyway. But being that as it may, I'm going to start with running backs and then quarterbacks, wide receivers, and then tight ends. All right, starting with the running backs. Start with number 12. As I see it now, this is August 25th, Stephen Ridley. I think he's going to be doing the same thing he did last year, plus maybe a little bit more. Now, I don't know if he's going to be scoring 12 touchdowns like he did last year, but I think he's going to be very close to double-digit touchdowns, and I think he's going to be a beast because the fact is the Patriots are going to be, like a lot of other teams, going to go back to old school and try to be a little bit more balanced and to run the ball a little bit more. And I think Stevie Ridley is going to be a top 12 running back in that vein. All right? And number 11 would be one of my favorite players. He's been one of my favorite players for a long time. Been a durable back. He was on a horrible, horrible team for quite a while with no really offense except for him being the offense. I'm talking about Mr. 39 from the St. Louis Rams. Now he's with the Atlanta Falcons, Mr. Steven Jackson. I think he's going to be a beast. I think he's going to score double-digit touchdowns, 10 to 12 touchdowns, in my opinion. If Michael Turner can do it last year and he scored 10 touchdowns and he's only a one-dimensional running back, Steven Jackson being a double threat, meaning he can catch the ball out of the backfield and run the ball quite effectively in that high-powered offense, I think he's going to easily get double-digit touchdowns. And Steven Jackson, in my opinion, is the number 11 rated running back.
Are they still running the zone running schemes down in Atlanta?
You know what? I'm trying to, Who's it? Mike Smith? I think they are. I think they are. If I'm not mistaken, he's going to have wide open holes. I'm telling you, he's going to have some nice holes. Even though he's 30, he still has a lot of left in the tank, in my opinion. So, anybody want to comment before I move on?
Man, I wish he was still in St. Louis. Man, he would fit perfect with those toys they got for Bradford now.
Well, the reason why he wasn't in St. Louis because Jeff Fisher wanted to do a running back by committee for the most part. He wanted to cut back his playing time, and he wouldn't be considered the number one running back. He wanted to incorporate more of the younger running backs, and Steven Jackson said, "Hell no! I'm the man. I'm the number one running back. I'm the bell cow. You use me like that, otherwise I move on." So it was an age and money thing. So and money went out when he went to Atlanta. So the next guy I have is and Mikal liked this guy. This guy is a beast, in my opinion. He's a beast, and I think he's only going to get better with a little bit more with more experience under his belt. But I don't think Mike Shanahan is going to fool around with this guy. I think he's going to do exactly what he did last year. Put the guy in there and let him run as long as he runs effectively. Alfred Morris, I see him getting about I think the way they run the ball, way Shanahan likes to run the ball, I too think he's going to get double-digit touchdowns. I don't think he's going to catch the ball that much out of the backfield, but I do believe that the way they run their offense and the way Alfred Morris is able to function within that offense, especially running the ball, he's going to get double-digit touchdowns, at least 10 touchdowns. Talk to me, Mikal. I think you want to say something.
I don't know if he's going to get double-digit touchdowns. I don't even think he's going to get over 300 carries this year. Redskins have two bona fide running backs now. They have two bona fide running backs now, and I think he's going to have at least 7 touchdowns, but I don't think he's going to have double-digit ones.
Really?
And I think he's going to be around the 1,200 mark, you know, somewhere mm-hmm. like that. But the Redskins are going to be running both of those guys, Roy Helu and him. They're going to be running him. That boy Roy Helu has been running his ass off all preseason. He looks real good.
Oh, really? I haven't seen him that much. Really?
He looked real good. Redskins got a thunder lightning thing going on now.
Okay. All right, let's move on to this guy. Now, a lot of people may have had him rated a little higher because he is a dual threat. I'm thinking because of the talent that I have listed above him, I have to put him where he's at right now. And I'm talking about the runner from one of Macau's favorite city. I'm talking about Ray Rice. I think Ray Rice is a ninth rated running back. I mean, that's still respectable, but I think he's taking a back seat to the other top eight that I have here. He's probably going to be used in the passing game a little bit more, so he's probably going to be more effective in PPR leagues because his receptions are probably going to go up more than they were from last year. But I don't know if he's going to be able to run the ball as effectively as he has in the past, because the fact is I think they're going to have Mr. Bernard Pierce interject his ability in there a little bit more because of what they've seen from him. 77.1 touches per game for Mr. Bernard Pierce. I think that's pretty impressive, and I think if you have a backup running back or a change of pace back that can do that, you're going to try to put him in there a little more to benefit the offense. Ray Rice's per carry average per yards, per yards per carry average has dropped a little bit, and that may be because of Mr. Pierce or because of Mr. Ray Rice and maybe him tailing off a little bit. But we'll see. But he's number nine on my list. Let's move up to another state or city that McCall's not too fond of because a friend of ours happens to spend a lot of time in that state. I'm talking about in Cleveland, Ohio. They have a beast in there. They have a beast called Trent Richardson in Cleveland with North Turner, one of my favorite head coaches. Now he's an offensive coordinator, and now North Turner is an extremely good offensive coordinator. Sucks as a head coach, but when he has a stud running back, and later on I'll talk to another position. When he has a stud running back, he uses that back effectively, and they do excel. Danian Thomason, Emmett Smith, just to name a few. And both these guys, one's in the Hall of Fame, one's soon to be on the Hall of Fame. Trent Richardson is going to be used extensively by North Turner and Rod Chudzinski. Both those guys have a similar mind, and the running, there's two positions when those guys run an offense that excel. And one of them we're talking about now is the running back, and I'll talk about the other one when I get to it. And so I think Trent Richardson, even though I have him listed as eight, can be in the top five because that's how much it's beneficial for a running back to be under North Turner and his system. So I have him at number eight. Let's move up to the Pacific Northwest, where the beast, Mr. Skittles himself, I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch, and one of the best offensive lines and best rushing offense in all of football, talking about the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to be running the ball extensively. They love to run the ball, especially when they have a beast of Marshawn Lynch. But let me put a little caveat in this, a little hint that the – whoever grabs Marshawn Lynch, if you grab Marshawn Lynch is getting a little long in the tooth. I'm not saying he's going to not produce. All right, he's 27 years old. I'm not saying he won't produce. But in my opinion is this. If you get Marshawn Lynch, when you start getting up the ladder with these running backs, look for the handcuff. And if you have roster spot, if you get Marshawn Lynch, they have a dynamic running back that sits behind Marshawn Lynch that can be a top five running back in his own right if Marshawn Lynch is out for the season and he takes over, talking about Christian Michael. So if you get Marshawn Lynch and you have roster spot and you want to be able to have a running back in that Seattle offense, get Christian Michael. It's spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Looks like Christine, but it's Christian, okay? Christian Michael, just remember that name, all right? I have him listed as the number 7 running back on my hit list. Let's move up to the number 6. Now, this guy, I saw him last night, and he looked all about it. Let me put it that way. He looked all about it. These guys, any of these next 6 guys I'm talking about, they could be anywhere between the number 6 guy and the number 1 guy, because all these guys are dynamic backs, and every one of these backs are dual threats. From 6 on up to 1, the dual threats. More some than others, but they're all dual threats. LeSean McCoy was showing his ass yesterday in the preseason game, and I don't think that's a fluke. In a Chip Kelly type of offense who likes to run the ball, LeSean McCoy is going to shine, especially if Michael Vick wants to stay on the field and be a productive quarterback. He'll dump it off. If he has nothing downfield, he'll dump it off to McCoy and let him do his thing in space. Before I go any further, I've ran over 3 or 4, maybe 5 running backs. You guys want to comment on any of the running backs and wherever I put them at up until this point before I get to the next
good.
5?
I like that backup you're talking about. I wish you would have kept that secret.
Well, I couldn't keep the secret. I had to tell you, unless you want me to text you. Actually, I don't know, you know, if you have Marshawn Lynch or you had thoughts of getting Marshawn Lynch, but I'm telling you.
I'm in the 16 team of the day at 1, and
okay.
we don't even know our draft positions yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Well, keep that guy in mind, because if you just happened to get him, Marshawn Lynch, then you may want to think about picking him up in the later round, because there's going to be running backs in the 16-team league. There's going to be a whole bunch of running backs taken, and you may want to think about grabbing him 10th, 11th round, somewhere around there in a 16-team league. Running backs, once the draft is over, running backs are going to be very scarce.
Let me interject here. Guys in my league, if you're listening, we're now going to talk about rugby. So feel free to tune on up.
Anyway, let's get to the top 5. Top 5, okay? Top 5 as I see it right now. We're going to go up to upstate New York. I don't know if Macau has anything against Buffalo, but we're going to go to one of the most dynamic running backs.
Running backs.
Excuse me, in the league. And that would be C.J. Spiller. Now, this guy is lightning quick, and is definitely a dual threat. Quite naturally, he's got a running back behind him, but the running back behind him, Fred Jackson, is old as Methuselah as it pertains to running backs. So basically it's his show, because Doug Marrone, the head coach, defensive-minded coach, and likes to run the ball, is going to run C.J. 2 – I've started to call him C.J. 2K, but you never know, because this kid – He's a very dynamic runner. I don't think he's going to get 2,000 yards, but he's a very dynamic runner, and I think he's going to have close to 2,000 yards in total yards from scrimmage. Excuse me. Maybe 1,600 yards. I'd say about 1,500 yards on the ground, and maybe another 5 or 6. In the air, because he's that dynamic, and he is my number 5 running back. All right, now let's get to number four. This guy, these next two guys are near and dear to my heart. This guy was sitting behind a fading running back in Kansas City when I called him out, saying that he's going to be a dynamic back if he gets the shot. I compared him to another a guy that had the same body type of 190 to 199 pounds and about 5'10", 5'11", somewhere around there, meaning Chris Johnson. I'm talking about J.C. I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Jamaal Charles. This guy's a dynamic back. He's going to be an Andy Reid type of West Coast offense, which highlights the running back for one. Another thing that's highlighted in a West Coast offense is a tight end. In this case, I don't think the tight end is going to be really highlighted. I think Jamaal Charles is definitely going to be highlighted. Just think about LeSean McCoy. Just think about Brian Westbrook. What Andy Reid did to those guys' careers when he had them under his wing as the offensive coordinator / head coach, and what type of stats those two guys put up. Jamaal Charles has more quickness than both of those guys and is a more dynamic, big play running back because of the speed that he has. He has world-class speed, and that's I'm not exaggerating. That's the truth. 5'11", 199 pounds. As long as he stays healthy, which I'm crossing my fingers, if he does, Jamaal Charles is my number four running back. But, in black, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to do it. If you have Jamaal Charles as your running back, okay, there's another rookie on his team. If you saw Kansas City play and you saw their special teams play, there was a special punt returner or a kick returner. I forget which one what it was. I think it was a punt return. I'm talking about this guy. This guy has 4.3, 4.4 speed. I'm talking about Nile Davis. He's the backup running back to Jamaal Charles. He's just as quick, bigger back, but he's just as quick. If you have Jamaal Charles and you're a little bit queasy, you want him because of his dynamic play. If you have Jamaal Charles and you draft him, quite naturally he's going to be in the fourth round. All right? A lot of people, unfortunately, they may know now, a lot of people don't know about Nile Davis, but Nile Davis can pick up the rock and run with it if Jamaal Charles goes down. That's all I got to say about that. Unfortunately, I'm sorry about that.
Davis is a kicker. You can find him on the kicker spot.
Okay. All these other guys, these guys I'm naming now, my suggestion, this one and the next one I'm going to name have very bona fide backups. The top two are not as dynamic, but if you want to cover yourself, you may want to get their backup, but don't expect too much from them because their backup are really not that good. Anyway, let's move on to number three. Number three, this is one of my other boys that I told a few years ago, and he's been nothing short of either the number one or two running back in the league. For some people, he's still the consensus number one pick, or at least the number two pick. My concern is, and we talked about this before, Mikal, his overuse over the years, that he's been used extensively over the last 2 to 3 years, especially last year, where he had over 400 touches, which is, if you include the playoffs, which is a lot of touches for a running back. And he's had health issues, the back. He's had groin and hamstring issues over the last few years. I'm not thinking this guy is going to stay healthy for the whole year. So I'm telling you, I'm imploring you, if you get Arian Foster, you better get Ben Tate. There's no two ways about it. If you get Arian Foster, as the number three, in my opinion, number three in the rankings. You better get Ben Tate as the handcuff, because I don't think he's going to last the whole year. When he's in there, he's a dynamite back, but he gets nicked up, hamstring and groin issues, things like that, and now he's dealing with back. So back for a running back is not good. So let's move on to number two, because this is how I see it now. I know he's a little nicked up right now. I know he didn't play yesterday. When his team played, we're going down to the home of Doc Gooden. I'm talking about Tampa Bay. And Doug Martin is my number two running back. Now, I had said earlier in the season, back in April, May, or whatever it was, that I thought Doug Martin would be the number one. Right now, he's number two. But because of his dual threat and dynamic play, he could easily surpass Adrian Peterson. And I know that's a big statement, but he's a bigger dual threat than Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson only caught like 40-something balls. That's good for a running back. But Doug Martin, Aaron Foster, Jamal Charles, C.J. Spiller, LeSean McCoy, all caught more than Adrian Peterson out of the backfield. So that's why I'm saying that I like him at number two, but I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the number one running back this year. Doug Martin doesn't have a very good backup with Brian Leonard. So you may want to get his handcuff, you may not, but his handcuff is not going to be anywhere near what the ability Doug Martin has. And last but not least, I'm finally getting to the number one, like I did last week, AP. Now, I've said before, and I'll say it again, I've struggled with this for a while, naming AP the number one. I mean, everybody's jumped on the bandwagon because of what he did last year, that he's going to either do the same thing or exceed that. I have my trepidations, I have my red flags up that because of his use, and we talked about this before, Mikal, his use over the years, not just last year, but used over the years and the amount of touches he had, that he could take a step back or two. He's still the number one, but I have my reservations, serious reservations, and he doesn't really have a bona fide backup. So when you have AP, when you have Doug Martin, you're pretty much on an island if you're trying to get a running back from that team, other than those two. Okay, I named the top five past McCoy. I'm going to give it to McCall and then Black for any comments.
You said number one is AP?
Yeah.
AP, AP is real safe. I just don't know, man. With all the touches and whatnot, mm-hmm. I just don't know. I really don't. I like Doug Martin. I like LeSean McCoy, and you know I like Alfred Morris.
Right.
So yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got.
About you, Black.
Oh, it's a good list. It's a good list.
All right, let's move on to, you know what? Let me see. I'll move on to the quarterbacks. To the quarterbacks. I think Black will like this. I'll move on to the quarterbacks. And like I said, I'm going to 12 because that's really, in my opinion, the normal league size. Not 10, not 14, not 16. 10, 12 to me, mainly in a lot of 12 team leagues. And I think that's usually the norm, 12 teams. So that's when I'm going to the top 12 of each. So let's go in the top 12 of the quarterbacks. And I'm going to be going a little over time because it's about 10 minutes now. And I'm going to get it all in, and we're not going to get cut off. I guarantee you, people, we're not going to get cut off. Top 12. Okay, let's go down to the big star. The one that Dion likes to, I should say Tio likes to taunt, okay?
Okay.
Talking about down in Dallas. Talking about Mr. Tony Romo. Tony Romo has been one of the best regular season quarterbacks. What's that? Be nice?
Said,
I'm trying to be nice.
Black is on the line.
I had to
be
do
nice.
That. I had to do that to Black. Anyway, Tony Romo has been one of the top five, and that's the truth, one of the top five quarterbacks for the last few seasons. And I don't see him not doing that this year. I put him at 12 because the list of quarterbacks, if there's one thing that you can do, and Black, let me ask you this question real quick before I keep on going. In this league that you got 16 teams, what's the passing points? Six or four?
I believe it's four, but I have to double check.
Okay. You've been in this league before?
I've been in the league last year, but it was we were in a different league. It was Yahoo last year, now it's ESPN.
Okay. But same
cast. I got to go over all the same cast of characters, though.
Same cast of characters. So my other question is this. I know the trend last year, it wasn't my trend because I always said pick running backs first, first two rounds or whatever. But I know the trend and the talk last year from the so-called experts was pick a quarterback early. Did they in your league? Did they pick quarterbacks early, or they waited on quarterbacks?
Somebody jumped out there with Brady early. Another person jumped out early with RG3. But for the most part, it was running back heavy the first couple of rounds.
Okay, all right. Cause the reason I'm saying this is because it's a 16-team league. And you don't want to get the 16th quarterback. So in a 12-team or a 10-team league, you can wait on a quarterback. You may want to bump that up a round or two to get a decent quarterback because once they start going, there may be panic set in and you have a big run of quarterbacks. So,
exactly.
So – anyway, from that being said, Tony Romo, like I said, has been one of the top, top 10, not top 5, top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL and really in fantasy during the regular season. I don't see him knocking off that perch, being knocked off that perch anytime soon, especially with a healthy Jason Witten, healthy Miles Lawson, and another year with the Beast. The Beast, and I'm saying he's a beast, number 88, and he's carrying that tradition well from Michael Irvin and company. Drew Pearson, I think Drew Pearson used to run 88 too, right?
Yes, Black. Sir.
Yes. So and Dez Bryant is running that quite well, and Tony Romo has come to trust him a lot. And if you watched the preseason game yesterday, you saw exactly what I was talking about. That's going to be a hell of a duo come the regular season. As long as both those guys stay healthy, it keeps Romo upright and Dez stays healthy, that's going to be a hell of a dynamic duo come the regular season. So Tony Romo is my number 12 rated quarterback. Now we'll move from the Big D to the San Francisco area. The Bay Area in California. This guy, Ron Jaworski, said this could be the greatest quarterback ever, and I can't say those words. I can't mimic those words. I can't agree with those words. But this guy can be one of the most dynamic quarterbacks going. He's got a gun for an arm. He's got speed to burn, and he can run his ass off. And he is a very capable quarterback, whether it's sitting in the pocket or running out of the pocket. He's just one of these quarterbacks, and I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick, just one of these quarterbacks along with Russell Wilson that are very smart. Not like a Michael Vick that can run and run recklessly. These guys are very smart, young quarterbacks that they'll live to play another day. They'll run out of bounds or slide to get whatever yardage they get to run another play because they know they need their team. You know that the team needs them. Very capable quarterback. Only can get better, especially under Jim Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh. And I like Colin Kaepernick at the number 11 position, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets within the top five. I think that they're going to use his talents extensively, his ceiling is he has a very high ceiling. Let me put it that way. Before I go on, you guys want to comment on that at all?
Best quarterback ever. Who said that, Jaws?
Jaws said that. Jaws did say that.
Lunching. He's lunching on that. I like Colin Kaepernick, I think Colin should be a little bit higher, but I don't think he's one of the best ever. He's very good. His measurables are off the chart.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And I like the way he plays the game. He's got the good body for it. He's got the arm for it. I like his swag too. You know, maybe a little bit half cocked, but you know, you're gonna need that to be able to play the way he plays. So, you know, I don't know about him being the best ever. You know, he only played 10 games, so let the boy get in there and play.
All right.
You know, let me see some more.
All right. Last year, Indianapolis had the luck of the draw, that's a play on words, to be the number one pick, to have the number one pick. And quite naturally, when they did that, they took Andrew Luck. He couldn't beat out RG3 for Rookie of the Year. And Russell Wilson took his team further in the playoffs, but neither of the two were asked to do as much as Andrew Luck. I saw Andrew Luck the last preseason game he played, and he looked like he was in midseason form. I think he threw for two touchdowns, and he was carving up the defense that he was playing against.
Remember when we were killing this guy before the drive?
Excuse me?
Remember when we were killing this guy before the drive?
Yeah. I have to eat my words big time. Big time. Huge big time. Let me put it this way. This guy was carving up the defense that he was playing against, and if he didn't have somebody to throw to, he was running. And he was doing the same things that RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, he getting huge chunks of yardage and sliding and saving himself for the next play. Andrew Luck, I have to eat my words big time. I absolutely didn't know what I was talking about when I was talking about you. You're a real deal. Real deal. And his ceiling is pointing nowhere but up. And Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton are going to greatly benefit for the quarterback they had. So Andrew Luck is my number 8th, or 10th, I'm sorry, 10th, 10th quarterback. Let's move on to the dirty, talking about the ATL and Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. What can I say about this guy? This guy has performed night ever since he got into the league. First play from the line of scrimmage, he throws a 50 to 60-yard bomb to Roddy White, or was it Julio Jones? I forget. It didn't make a difference, but he threw a bomb, and the first pass he threw was for a big play touchdown. And all he's been doing is making big plays. True, they haven't won a lot of playoff games. They haven't gotten to the Super Bowl. But this year, even out of his mouth, it's Super Bowl or bust. Tony Gonzalez is back. Got that dynamic duo on both sides of either side of the line of scrimmage, Julio Jones and Roddy White, and now they have a back that's a dual threat back in Steven Jackson. This offense is loaded at four skill four skill positions: running back, tight end, wide receiver, and quarterback. All they need is a decent defense, and they should be able to dominate. We're going to be running. We're into overtime now, but we will finish this with time to spare, so we're not going to get cut off. I like Matt Ryan. I think he's going to have another stellar year with the weapons that he has, and including the running back that he's never had a running back like Steven Jackson before. Big back that can run the ball and catch it out of the backfield, now, unlike the plotter and the bulky brick of Michael Turner. You know, Michael Turner is not in the league anywhere. That's how much he's thought of after he left the Atlanta Falcons. Not in the league anywhere, which is saying, in my opinion, is saying a lot about how much Michael Turner had left after he left Atlanta. All right, let's move up to the DMV area. You guys' favorite area, one of you guys' favorite team, talking about the man that looks like, never mind, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
There's colors.
Let me just put it this way. He looks like a character that we all love and we all know it dear into our heart. And it's always good to be green. Robert Griffin III is my number. The eighth rated quarterback in my list. Now, the only caveat I have is if he is totally back from his knee injury, and he's able to perform like he did last year. Unlike Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, these are all mobile quarterbacks. But these mobile quarterbacks, all three of them, even though Kaepernick only played 10 games, lasted the whole season. RG3, Michael Vick, mobile quarterbacks that do not know how to slide. Do not know how to run out of bounds to get out of harm's way. They better learn quick, especially RG3, as young as he is. Otherwise, their season's going to get cut short again. And I'm hoping for this guy. I'm pushing for this kid, really, because I want to see his talents on the field, not him standing on the sidelines because he's hurt. So hopefully when he does get back in there, he doesn't not too anxious to play, and he overdoes it, and he tries to do too much too soon. But I do like RG3 as the number eight rated quarterback. Now, I talked about five quarterbacks, Tony Romo, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, and now RG3. Before I go any further, you guys want to comment at all? I'll give it to Black and then McCall.
Yeah, I think if he's healthy, you have to have him high. But I'm going to stay patient and wait to see who's on the rest of this list.
Okay. McCall?
If he stays healthy, which I think he will, he'll be more healthy this year. He only missed a game. He didn't want to miss either one of those, but he's got to run that read option, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to scrambling, he's just got to get out of bounds,
right?
Because the read option will help him a lot more in his game. And the Redskins just offense is just it's just going to be sick, shit. It really is.
Okay.
I want to see that Chip Kelly offense, but I don't think his offense is going to help him. They've got the players to play. They've always had those players. So Sean McCoy, other boy, the wide receiver, number 10, I forget his name.
Sean Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson. Those three guys on offense, and then Avant as well, they're very formidable. You know, Chip or not. You know, I just hope Chip Kelly's offense doesn't, you know, wear out his defense, if you know what I mean.
All right, let's move on to the number 7 I have here. This guy, he threw for the most, he had the most attempts in the NFL last year. I think he's going to do the same thing. This is a passing offense. He has the best wide receiver in the league. He has two dynamic and underrated, in my opinion, underrated tight ends, Brandon Pettigrew and Tony Scheffler. And he's got two number twos or number threes, whatever you want to call them, which I think both these guys are coming back from injury, meaning Nate Burleson and Ryan Broyles, and that can complement Calvin on the other side. Matt Stafford is going to be throwing and slinging the ball, plus the fact he's got Mr. Reggie Bush in the backfield that is going to serve. If anyone can remember Jahvid Best for the short time he was on the field, well, this is Jahvid Best. This is a more experienced Jahvid Best, okay? So that's just going to be another injection into the offense that another option that Matt Stafford has to get rid of the ball to either Calvin Johnson, one of the two tight ends, one of the two other wide receivers, or Reggie Bush, along with their hammer, which would be Mikel LeSure. So Matt Stafford, he was the number 4 fantasy quarterback in 2011. He was 11th ranked in 2012, and that was on a bad team. Okay, I think. Because of that option of having Reggie Bush and that added option, being able to have someone out of the backfield, whether it's catching the ball, even running the ball, which they didn't have. That's why they were slinging the ball so much last year. It's only going to open up the offense that much more and make Matt Stafford that much more effective. So that's why I have listed Matt Stafford number seven on my hit list. Let's move on. Number 6. We're going to walk out. Yeah.
Hey, I just noticed something. You didn't have Reggie Bush on your running back list.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. I was waiting for somebody to say something like that. You're absolutely right. You're
Reggie
absolutely.
Bush.
I don't think he's going to be in. I don't think he's going to be in the top 12. But there is a. He can be. Let me put it this way. Okay.
Reggie Bush can be. Oh, beast. I didn't think so either until I watched him against the Patriots.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That young, he looked wicked. He looked wicked out there.
Yep.
It don't even look fair.
Yep.
And the thing about it,
earlier in the year when I said I had Doug Martin number 1, I had Reggie Bush number 2. Now I don't have him on the list. But I'm so glad you said that because a lot of people in the drafts, Black, listen to me, a lot of people in the drafts, are going to forget about Reggie Bush. If it's a PPR league, everybody's going to jump on the number ones. Reggie Bush, along with Darren Sproles, is a bona fide number 2 and can be a number 1 running back to fill your first two running backs. So I don't know how you draft. I don't know if you go one position and go to another position, but I'm telling everyone and anyone and everyone that's drafting, take your first two running backs. Your first two picks should be running backs because the running backs fall off quicker than any other position. There's a lot of quarterbacks out there. There's a lot of wide receivers out there, but the running back position falls off a lot more as you get down at running backs than it does the wide receivers or quarterbacks. And believe it or not, you look at the tight ends. There's a lot of good tight ends out there, but the running backs are key. And if it's a PPR league, you get your stud running back in your first round, and you get a bona fide PPR running back in the second round. So that's just a word of advice. Regardless, if you can shoot for Reggie Bush in the second round, get him. Trust me, Blank, get him, because he's going to be – I don't know if you've been watching Detroit. I've been watching Detroit because I want to see how Reggie gets incorporated in the offense. And just like McCall says, he looked sick. He looked sick. And I think that's only going to be better. So only going to get better during the season as long as he stays healthy. Anyway, Matt Stafford is my number seven quarterback. Let's move up to the number six. Let's go to the Pacific Northwest, which I think this guy's ceiling is nothing but going up. I think this guy is one of the smartest young quarterbacks in the league. Very level-headed young kid ahead of his years in maturity. I really like this kid, and I think he's one of the smarter young quarterbacks out there. I'm talking about Russell Wilson. As long as he has a solid running game, which I think I've named two guys that the starter and the backup can serve well in the running game. Golden Tate is in a contract year, so I think he's going to try to play as well as he can to get a another contract. Sidney Rice is a decent back. A decent wide receiver, but is injury prone. Doug Baldwin is another good wide receiver out there. They got a decent, unappreciated and low-key type of wide receivers that service Russell Wilson well, along with Zach Miller, which is an unheralded tight end, but a very capable tight end in Seattle. So Russell Wilson is one of these dual-threat quarterbacks. He can run the ball effectively and pass the ball. Very accurate passer. I like Russell Wilson as my number six quarterback. And there's another theme going to this, because the next guy I have, and we're talking one, two, three, four, five. This is going into the top five now. We're going down to the Carolina. And Cam is the one I'm talking about. Cam Newton, one of the first in a new breed of mobile quarterbacks. I think he's going to have an extremely good year. Maybe not running the ball as much. Unfortunately, I don't like their offensive coordinator. Mike Shule is not the best offensive coordinator to go around. But with the skill set Cam has, and I think the one guy, because Jonathan Stewart is hurt and he cannot seem to stay healthy. D'Angelo Williams may be a 30-year-old back, but I think he's a serviceable back, and it will serve well, even though that Brandon LaFell is not a good wide receiver. They use Greg Olsen as a tight end at the wide receiver position, basically, because he's the other option other than Steve Smith. That's a really, really dynamic duo, those two. I like Cam Newton as my number four quarterback. He can run the ball, and you know he can – I mean, he can pass the ball, and he's getting better, and you know he can run the ball. So Cam Newton is my number five quarterback. Now the next four are – you can put them in – the next three, you can put them in any order that you really want. But – I think this is the way they should be. This guy has taken a hit, literally taken a hit. He got hit in his second preseason game, and he went down, and everybody held their breath. Hopefully he didn't have a serious knee injury. He lost Wes Welker. He lost Aaron Hernandez. He lost beginning of the season Rob Gronkowski. He lost Danny Woodhead. And just this kid just keeps on going. This is one of the most dynamic, one of the best quarterbacks ever. I hate to say it, but he just makes whoever he around him, he just makes him better. When he went 5 years or whatever amount of time it takes after he retires, he'd definitely be a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind. Tom Brady is going to make the best of whoever he has around him to throw the ball to. receiver. They're going to run the ball more. I do believe that. They're going to use Shane Vereen in a Danny Woodhead type of environment. So he's going to be effective at coming out of the backfield as a running back. And then they have Aaron Dobson, who's a rookie wide receiver. They have Kembrell Thompson, who is another rookie wide receiver. And Zach Ertz, who's the tight end that is taking the place of Rob Gronkowski. So they have weapons. They're young weapons, but they're dealing with an experienced quarterback in Tom Brady that can get those balls where they need to be as long as they take care of their route running. So Tom Brady is my number four quarterback. Now, let's move out to the Big Sky Country. Let's move out to Denver. And the old guy, one of the old guys in this league, and he still takes a licking and still keeps on ticking. I'm talking about Peyton Manning. He's got weapons galore out there. Where Wes Welker left New England, he went to Denver. Now, and he has an old salt in the slot, Wes Welker. He's got two young studs on the outside, Eric Decker and Demaryius Thomas. And he's got some young running backs. He's got Knowshon Moreno. He's got Ronnie Hillman. And he's got the rookie that just drafted, Monte Ball. He's loaded for bear. Everybody's talking Super Bowl. I'm not sure about that. But these guys are loaded. And Peyton Manning is going to get the ball to whoever he needs to get to on a very consistent basis. He's just a sign of consistency, and there's really nothing more I can say. This guy, this is one of my favorite guys. I have a special place in my heart for this guy. He helped me win the championship at one point. So I've always liked this guy, even when he was with the San Diego Chargers. Now he's been and won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints. He's my number two quarterback. I'm talking about easy breezy Drew Brees. $100 million contract, a five-year $100 million contract. He signed 2 weeks before camp. He exploded out with three more touchdowns. That was last year. And now, let me put it this way. They got their boy back. He's got his buddy back. He's got Sean Payton back. Sean Payton's vowed to run the ball more. Chris Ivory's no longer with the Saints. You got Mark Ingram. You got Pierre Thomas. And Drew Brees helped get Darren Sproles from San Diego over to New Orleans. And he uses those weapons. And then Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, Lance Moore extensively. So Drew Brees is my number two. And that only leaves one more guy, the man, A-Rod, the other A-Rod, okay, the $130 million man who made the fans in Green Bay forget about Brett Hu. So Aaron Rodgers, he's already won Super Bowl. He lost Greg Jennings to Minnesota. He's got two young stud running backs, one of which I think is going to be probably starting. The other one's probably going to be back in the month. This is another team that's been an extensive passing team that is trying to run the ball more because they lack the running game, which caused Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the league, to get sacked the most in the league. So they shored up the offensive line, which is going to be better. They shored up the defense, which should be better. And they shored up and got two running backs to shore up the running back position. But Aaron Rodgers is still going to be slinging the ball, and he is my number one. So the top five, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Cam Newton. Your thoughts, Black McCaffrey?
I slide Cam out of the top five, and I move RG-Knee into that position. I like the top 12, though, overall, and I'm glad a couple of other names weren't called because this means more quarterbacks, more quarterbacks, more quarterbacks.
McCaffrey.
I would have to agree with Black, although I would not have had Tony Romo in that list. I really wouldn't. He got to show
it. Check the stats, man.
I mean,
you're talking about Super Bowl. You're talking about fantasy football.
Oh, right, exactly. You're absolutely right. He's a phenomenal fantasy football quarterback. You're absolutely right. I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
You guys, I tell you. Oh, God. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers position. Got a lot of wide receivers here, so you may not agree, you may agree, but it is what it is. Anyway, let's move to number 12. We go to the NFC East. And let's go to one of your favorite cities, Macau, NYC. Talk about the New York Giants. He talk about the New York Giants. We talking about the Mr. Samba, Rambo, man. We're talking about Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz signed a huge contract over the
Hold on. While you talk about this guy, you need to saw some music.
Out of the College of Massachusetts, he came on the scene. Yeah, you realize he came on the scene. People didn't know who he was until he played and scored three touchdowns in a preseason game against the my former team, the New York Jets. And then everybody's saying, well, who is this guy? And well, ever since that happened, he's been a dynamic slot wide receiver that make one big play after another. I was a naysayer last year because I didn't think he could do it. But I have to eat crow again. Victor Cruz has been at least on one of my teams, which I never even thought about last season. I like Victor Cruz. I think he's going to be more effective this year with more experience, especially with Eli. And I think they're going to be relying on him more and more because of the unreliability and the not-so-good rapport that Eli has with Hakeem Nicks because he can't stay healthy. So I like Victor Cruz as my number 12 wide receiver. Let's move on over to the I already talked about him as the number one quarterback. Well, this is one of the dynamic players that I don't know whether the Randall Cobb is a Percy Harvin type or Percy Harvin is a Randall Cobb type of player. But both these guys are comparable. They can catch the ball in receiving, and they can also act as their running backs because they're capable of doing that. And they can also do punt return. These guys are very versatile. Randall Cobb is a very versatile guy. Greg Jennings is gone. Randall Cobb is going to step into that position with the best quarterback in football, throwing him the football along with Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and their tight end, Jermichael Finley. But Randall Cobb burst on the scene for the most part last year, especially when Greg Jennings was hurt. And I do believe the ceiling is very high for Randall Cobb, especially with Aaron Rodgers trusting him more and more in the offense and Jordy Nelson on the mend. I like Randall Cobb in that number 11 position. Moving up to number 10. Let's go to the dirty. And this is one of two guys that are from the ATL that are in my top 10. The old guy. This is the seasoned vet. The guy that's been around the longest, but he's still the number one, stated by Matt Ryan, stated by Julio Jones, and self-stated by Roddy White. He is the number one wide receiver in Atlanta. He's still the young guy, even though he's 31, and I know 31's a little, I don't know, old for a wide receiver, but it's getting there. And he's competing for touches with Julio Jones. But he had 143 targets last year. And I don't see that falling off because of the way Matt Ryan slings the ball and looks for Julio Jones. In my opinion, he's one of the most consistent wide receivers in the league, and Matt Ryan's going to be looking for him just like he looks for his other options, and he gets the most targets out of all the passing options, Julio Jones and Tony Gonzalez. So Roddy White is my number 10. Let's move on to the next guy. Happens to go down into the state of Texas. Into the state of Texas. This guy is in his 30s. He's been 10 years in Houston. He's never played with a legit number two wideout. He's also 31. He plays in a run-based offense. But because he was their main option, he was their main target, so he got a lot of targets. I see that's still happening. I think Matt Schaub is still going to be looking for Andre Johnson, even though they do have a very Roddy-like type of number two wide receiver rookie called DeAndre Hopkins. I think Andre Johnson is still the number one option there. Well, I know he's still the number one option, but don't discount the guy on the other side. Doing the same things as Julio did in Atlanta. But Andre Johnson, for this all intents and purposes, is my number 9 wide receiver, and I think he's going to be consistent as he has always been throughout the years. He
will consistently be a bag of bricks.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I know. Yeah, see, I know the bad experiences you've had with Andre Johnson, but he finished second. Hold on a minute. Oh. Sorry about that. He finished second only to Megatron in receiving yards, and he ranked fourth in the league in catches. So regardless of what you may think, Black, he's still producing. He's still producing as the number one wide receiver.
You see, as soon as I was mentioned, you had phone trouble instantly. that is the effect of bag of tricks. That is the effect when you talk about bags of
bricks. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to number 8. Let's go down to Doc Gooden's hometown again. We're going down to Tampa Bay. VJ, dumbass, and I'll say it, dumbass A.J. Smith from San Diego Chargers got rid of LaDainian Tomlinson and Vincent Jackson, I think, in consecutive years. And what happened to the San Diego Chargers? They went strictly downhill because of an egotistical manager, GM, or president of football operations. And he's no longer there because of his asinine stubbornness. Anyway, Vincent Jackson benefits from having Josh Freeman, even though Josh Freeman is a very inconsistent quarterback. When he is able to get the ball to him, he's very productive I expect him to do the same thing as he's done in the past. He led the NFL in yards per reception, turning just 72 catches into the fifth most yards in the league. So he's a good yak guy. He ranked 10th in the league in targets, and that was his third top 10 fantasy season of his 8-year career. So Vincent Jackson is going to produce because, besides Mike Williams, Vincent Jackson is the better of the two in the threat. That's the reason why they got him to be a bona fide number one. So they're going to be throwing to Vincent Jackson a lot, and he's a good yard after the catch guy. So he's my number 8. Moving up, and let's say not moving up. See, let's just move along the country, along the bottom of the country, over to John McCain country. How's that? Ooh, John McCain country. Let's move to Arizona, okay, where they've had, I would say, complete overhaul, but they've had an overhaul of coaching staff. They had an overhaul of the quarterbacks, and they've had a turnaround or turnover in the running back position also. Well, we're going to just, right now, we're talking about wide receiver. We're talking about Larry Fitz. He's my number 7 wide receiver, and I think he's going to be moving up on this list as the season progresses because he has Carson Palmer. Now, I know now Carson Palmer's not an Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, but he's a very capable quarterback. He's a pretty accurate quarterback when given time in the field, in the pocket. Now, I know Arizona had one of the worst offensive lines in all of the football, but they've gotten a head coach over there, and they've gotten a coaching staff, and they've gotten the players back that were hurt last year in the offensive line to shore up the offensive line and put in a more dynamic passing game. Carson Palmer threw for over 4,000 yards last year in a horrible Oakland offense, especially with the wide receivers, which were very inexperienced, very injury-prone, and not being where they were supposed to be in their routes. And he still threw for 4,000 yards. In a Bruce Arians type of offense, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. Larry Fitz is going to benefit from that. He hasn't had a quarterback of this caliber since Kurt Warner. And I'm not comparing Carson Palmer to Kurt Warner, but I'm just saying the skill set of the quarterbacks Larry Fitz had between Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer were pretty bad. So this is an uptick from what Larry's been dealing with, Kevin Cobb, John Skelton, and the like. Carson Palmer's nowhere near that. So he's going to be able to get the ball. He's an experienced quarterback. He knows what to do with the ball and where it should go. And Bruce Arians' passing offense, he's going to do very well throwing the ball to Larry Fitz, and Larry Fitz is going to benefit from him. That's why I have Larry Fitz, number 7, on my list. Let's move on to number 6, Bebe. They call him Bebe out in Denver. He's 6'5", 6'6", 225, something like that. Big, strong, strapping kid. Demaryius Thomas, third year in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Second year in the league, whatever it is. And he's got Peyton Manning for the second year in a row in that offense. Peyton Manning is a very, extremely good quarterback. Everyone knows that. And you know the type of offense Peyton Manning runs. He's going to get this guy. He relied on this guy a lot last year. He had 141 targets compared to Eric Decker, who had 123. He finished. He had 7 100-yard games, which that equates to the number 5 wideout in fantasy. So he can only get nothing but better. And I have him listed at number 6. I can see him possibly getting into the top 5. It's going to be hard because the top 5 guys above him are really, really good wide receivers. But he has Peyton Manning, and depending on how the top 5 play out and he and his rapport with Peyton Manning, I think he's going to have a dynamic year. Let me put it that way. Let's move back down to the dirty and the other part of that dynamic duo in the ATL. Talking about Julio Jones. He just finished 9th among fantasy wideouts. But even though he only ranked 20th in the league in targets, so that means he's a big play guy, which we all know. Julio Jones eventually is going to be taken over, quite naturally. Everybody knows this. He's going to be taken over for Roddy White. Roddy White's 31. Julio Jones is 24, 220, 6'5", a beast of a guy who's only getting better from year to year under the tutelage of Roddy White and Tony Gonzalez and Matt Ryan. That's why I have Julio Jones number 5 on my hit list. Let's move on to in a Mark Trestman type of offense, I can't see him dropping off from the steady targets that he had from Jay Cutler. I'm talking about Brandon Marshall, over 100 catches last year, over 108. He had 108 catches. He had over 100 catches. I'm sorry, he had over 100 catches last year, and he's consistently, especially with Jay Cutler, had over 100 catches each year, and about 12 to 1300 yards. I don't see that going anywhere. In fact, I see it may be even increasing, if you can believe it or not. For the simple fact is, Mark Trestman in the West Coast offense. San Francisco 49ers in a heyday. He was one of those guys in that coaching staff. So the West Coast offense getting the ball out of Jay Cutler's hands a lot quicker may offset how bad that offensive line in Chicago is, and keep Jay Cutler upright and healthy. Let me put it that way. So that's why I'm considering. Well, not considering. That's why I'm saying Brandon Marshall is number four on my hit list. Now these other three guys are absolute beasts. Absolute beasts. Quite naturally, they're number ones on their respective teams. The first one I have here, number three, he's 24. One of the most feared red zone wideouts in the league. He had 9 straight games with a touchdown and averaged 93 yards per week during that span. He was number four wideout despite falling off near the end of the year. He had 11 touchdowns and 8 came from inside the 20. So he's a huge red zone target. We're talking about A.J. Green from the Cincinnati Bengals. And with Andy Dalton, who's not the strongest arm in the pack of quarterbacks, able to get and make A.J. Green or help A.J. Green to be as effective and explosive as he is, goes to show you how good this guy really is. Just think about if A.J. Green is doing this with Andy Dalton, if he was on a team with Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, how much better he would be. But he's still a dynamite guy with Andy Dalton, and his ceiling is pointing way up. And he's only 24 years old. He's a baby. Unbelievable. With that being said, we're going to go to Big Star. We're going to go to Dallas. And we're going to go to the number 88, the other number 88, the beast I was talking about on the other end of those Tony Romo passes. Talking about the Dez, Mr. Bryant. This kid, I think, has finally got it. I think he has finally got it. Something clicked last season. And the trust factor came into Tony Romo, and Dez Bryant realized what he needed to do to be a dynamic wide receiver. And his ceiling, as long as he can stay healthy, because he's such a violent wide receiver when he catches the ball, has a tendency to get hurt because of that. I think he is, in my opinion, is number two. And he can challenge Calvin for number one because he is that damn good. He finished among the top 10 wideouts in catches, yards, and touchdowns last year. So I like Dez Bryant, my number two. And quite naturally, I talked about Matt Stafford as my number seven quarterback. Well, one of the reasons why he's my number seven quarterback is because the number one. Megatron is his nickname. Calvin Johnson is his real name. 1,964 yards. He broke the record that was held by Jerry Rice. He led the league in receptions of 20 plus yards and targets. Quite naturally, he was fantasy's number one wide out for the second year in a row. played 16 games for the fourth time in his last 5 years. He totaled 1,600-plus yards in back-to-back years for the first time in NFL history. And last year, he got tackled 6 times at the one-yard line. 6 times at the one-yard line. He only scored, I think, 5 touchdowns. So if he had scored 6 more, he would have double-digit touchdowns along with the other records he had. He's clearly the number one right now. But the other two, Dez Bryant and A.J. Green, are hot on his ass. All right, guys, I gave you the top 10, top 12 in the wide receivers. Talk to me. Anybody.
I can't put a guy who gets tackled at the one-yard line that frequently at number one. But I'll bump Dez up in this one. But I like your list overall, and there are more receivers you didn't name.
Oh, I'm telling you, trust me. Trust me when I say you are exactly right. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of abundance of wide receivers. When you're doing drafting, you go after your running backs, then you go after your wide receivers, and then you think about getting – you go after your stud running backs, you go after your stud wide receivers. Look for then it's your choice, whether you look for a tight end or you look for a quarterback. My suggestion is look for a quarterback and then a tight end. But that's a personal preference. And then you go from there. I mean, then you start filling whatever needs you have after you get you take care of your quarterback and your wide receivers and your running backs. So, Mikal, you got any comments before I go to tight ends?
No, I don't got no comments. I thought Dez Bryant should have been a little bit higher, but
He's number two.
Oh, you had him at number two? Oh, damn. I'm sorry. I forgot. Sometimes when you say, Dallas Cowboy or, a star or something like that.
Oh, shut it. Just
lose my
it.
Memory. I can't even think. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's okay. All right, let's move on to the tight ends where there's some sleeper tight ends in here. And just think about this. That this first guy, his average draft position is about 130. In a 12-team league, that's about – no, that can't be right. Let me try that again. Hold on a minute here. In a 12-team league, that's the 10th or 11th round. This guy, and like I had said earlier, in a Rob Chudzinski and Norv Turner offense, there's two positions, for the most part. There's really two positions that really stand out outside the wide receiver position. The running back position, like I talked about with Trent Richardson, and the tight end position. How about Jay Novacek and Jason Witten? I'm talking about Norv Turner. And this guy I'm talking about, a converted basketball player, one of the league's most athletically gifted pass-catching tight ends. He spent the first 2 seasons of his NFL career on a bench, riding behind veteran Ben Watson. Jordan Cameron racked up a career-high 31 targets, last year. All right, he caught only 65% of the looks, but part of that was 9.5 average depth of target, which was the 12th highest at that position. I'm telling you again, and I'll tell you again. Jordan Cameron, if you don't get Jimmy Graham, you don't get Ron Gronkowski, you don't get Tony Gonzalez, you don't get Jason Witten, you don't get Vernon Davis, just wait. Just wait. If you're in a large league with 16 teams, 14 teams, you're going to have to bump up where you pick them. But if you're in a 10 or 12-team league, 10th, 11th round, that kid's going to be sitting there. And you can pluck him up. And Norv Turner, tight ends excel in the Norv Turner's offense. Just remember that, Black. All right. I'm just letting you know. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know. Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on to the next one. Now this guy.
He was a breakout
last year. I really liked this guy last year. I don't know exactly how much he's going to do this year.
He had nine touchdowns
in 17 games. He was the fantasy's number 11 tight end. But because he scored a lot of touchdowns because Christian Ponder looked for him a lot. He scored a lot of touchdowns, but He didn't have too much yak after the catch. So even though he was a fantasy sleeper last year, even though he scored a lot of touchdowns, he didn't have a lot of yardage to go behind it. So a lot of his fantasy points had to do with the amount of touchdowns he was scoring. And if he didn't score touchdowns, then a couple times you would get big fat zeros in his category. I'm talking about Kyle Rudolph from the Minnesota Vikings. He's a very good very good tight end. Maybe he'll build on what took place last year. Percy Harvin's no longer there. Now they have Greg Jennings. Now they have Cordell Patterson. But quarterbacks are creatures of habit, just like horses and a lot of other animals. They're creatures of habit. So when they get down near the red zone, they're going to be looking for what their comfort zone. Whether it's a wide receiver that they used to go into or the tight end. So Kyle Rudolph, even though he may not get a lot of yardage, it's going to be looked at in the red zone. And Christian Ponder, it looks for him to bail him out in the middle of the field, driving, or down near the red zone. So that's why I have Kyle Rudolph, my number 11th. Tight end. Let's move up to number 10. Let's move up to this guy. He moved on from Tennessee, and now he's with the Sam Bradford over in St. Louis. This guy is going to be a dynamic tight end. He was used a lot in Tennessee. Brian Schottenheimer uses the tight end in the offense, even though he's not the quarterback, but he sets up the tight end to be used a lot. How about Dustin Keller in the Jets? When he moved from the Jets, Schottenheimer moved over to the St. Louis Rams. So he's going to be used a lot in the passing game. So Jared Cook is going to be another sleeper of mine. I wouldn't even say a sleeper. I think he's just going to be a solid guy in the passing game for Sam Bradford, especially to dump off and a bailout. He was at times. As a wide receiver in Tennessee also. Now this guy, next guy, my number eight guy here, this guy is near and dear to my heart. I've always liked this guy. Guys make jokes about me liking this guy, but he's one of the most athletically gifted players at the position. But he has a lot of drops, and at times he's inconsistent, but I think he's in a contract year, and he's going to show out. Most guys in contract year are going to show out, and I'm talking about going into Wisconsin and talking about JerMichael Finley. I have JerMichael Finley listed as my eight tight end, and I'm not moving off of it. I think he's going to have a big year, and that's all I can say about that. Let's move on to.
Bag of Bricks Part 2.
Okay, whatever. Whatever you want to say that. Let's move this guy. This guy came from the Big D, was a knucklehead. No one could figure this guy out because he marched to a different drummer in Dallas. He moved on to Macau's favorite city, one of them, New York.
played very well and for 1 year and moved on with a nice contract over to the Windy City in Chicago. Talking about Martellus Bennett in a Mark Trestman type of offense. The tight end is used a lot, and I think this is another receiving option that Jay Cutler has besides Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. This is a big guy, 6'8", 270, can block and can definitely catch the ball, and he's a very good runner after catching the ball. I think Martellus Bennett is going to have a decent year at the tight end position, and that's why I have him listed number 7 on my list. This guy down in Carolina, moving on to the guy in Carolina, was used basically being used the same way he used to be used in Chicago. He's down and been in Carolina for a few years now. And because of the lack of consistent wide receiver play, Greg Olsen has been a consistent option for Cam Newton at the tight end position. He's the number 2 target behind Steve Smith. He ranked 6th among tight ends in both targets and receptions, and he finished 4th in yardage. He scored 5 touchdowns and has now scored exactly 5 touchdowns during 4 of the last 5 seasons. So you can't get much more consistent than that. He's caught 72% of his catches. So Greg Olsen is a mark of consistency if you don't get the top 5 guys, top 5, top 6 guys. Greg Olsen is the mark of consistency in the tight end position. That's what I'm saying. If you don't get one of the top 5 guys, there are plenty of options, maybe not as dynamic as those guys, but you look at it this way. When you don't get a top tight end, when you don't get a top quarterback, you're getting the better of the other positions, running back and wide receivers, and they can make up for maybe a drop-off in talent of a tight end or a quarterback. So it evens out if you get the right guys in the right position. Anyway, let's move on to the number 5, my top 5 here. My top 5. This guy, he wasn't used that much earlier in the season when Alex Smith, when Colin Kaepernick took over, let me put it that way. Colin Kaepernick didn't look in his direction that much. When he first took over, he was more of a Michael Crabtree guy he was thrown to until late in the season and into the playoffs when Colin Kaepernick took full advantage of Vernon Davis and his ability. Well, guess what, people? Michael Crabtree is hurt. He's not going to be back this year. There's talk that Vernon Davis is lined up, besides the tight end position, he's lined up in wide receiver position, and he has the speed to do that. And with that being said, I think Vernon Davis is going to have a pretty big year in that offense. Even though they're a run-based offense, they still throw the ball, and they have Vernon Davis to go to besides Anquan Boldin, who moved over from Baltimore. Vernon Davis is an established guy that's been there for a while. Anquan Boldin just came on the scene. So who do you think Colin Kaepernick feels more comfortable with? You guessed it, Vernon Davis. So I look for Vernon Davis to have a pretty big year. This other guy, I'm moving on to where in Black's country, down in Big D, mark on consistency. I don't know how more consistent you can possibly be than as long as this guy has been playing with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm talking about Jason Witten. He He was just behind Jimmy Target. Jimmy Target. Just behind Jimmy Graham, who led the position in fantasy points, but he was just behind Jimmy Graham in that category. Mark and consistency. I think he's going to have another big year. He has a very good rapport with Tony Romo, and I don't see that changing at all. Then we go down to Dirty, the old vet, 13, 17 years, whatever he's been there. I think he's been 17, 18 years. Caught 93 balls, and he scored 8 times. Still doing it at age 37. Number 3 wide receiver for Atlanta at a tight end position. First ballot Hall of Famer when his time comes. I'm talking about Tony Romo, huge market consistency. I see him showing out as always. Now this next guy, and I'm doing this because I'm running out of time real quick here. This next guy, he's probably not going to start the season, but when he does, he's going to be one of Tom Brady's most favorite targets. I'm talking about the Gronk, the Wild Man, back and elbow and forearm surgeries. He's had a few of them. He's had a handful of them, and I think he's going to when he comes back. Just the beat goes on, and Tom Brady's going to rely on him. Depending on when he comes back, depending on when he starts performing, but I think he's going to be a market consistent when he performs. And quite naturally, the number one position with one of the top two quarterbacks in the league. He's at 6'9", former basketball player also in himself. He's one of the number two target for Drew Brees behind Marcus Colston, and it's very close. Jimmy Graham, without a doubt, the number one tight end in my opinion in the league and in fantasy. All right, that rounds out all the positions that I named. You guys got any comments on anything I said?
Yeah, a couple of bricks in there. You want to throw out Jermichael Finley. You want to throw out Marcellus Bennett. Those guys are going to have great years.
Okay. All right.
Agree with you on Marcellus Bennett. I don't know about Finley. He could have a decent season. I don't know about a great season. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. With that being said, it's about that time again. All right, Black, good luck in your draft, which is going to take place in about an hour or so. In fact, I got to be somewhere
in
about an hour.
And
16-team league, I hope you draft well. Mikal, I appreciate you showing up and giving us your input also. And with that being said, what do I want to play here? I'll do this one. And anyone else is going to be doing the drafting, good luck in your fantasy drafts. Hope you draft well. Hope that helped you and give you some insight in some of these players over the last few weeks and including today. Peace and love.
Also, be careful. The term trade rape is real.
Okay. Talk to you later. See ya.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field, because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last, bring it all day, every play, because you know your boy's